We are reading from Matthew chapter 7, from verse 15 to 23. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This is the word of God. Now, our title for this morning service is Beware of False Prophets. And we're also going to look at the difference between false prophets and true prophets, or false Christians and true Christians. Now, in this world, we are many times fooled by tricksters. Many times we are taken for a ride. I remember 3 years ago, after I got married to Roxanne, we decided to go to Texas for our third wedding. And I had to get a visa. And I had to fill out forms, and I searched online, and I got a hold of a company called Visa to Go. And I worked, and I had to pay 2,500 rand. They said they will do the application for me. And then when the time is right, they will get my documentation ready, and then they'll make an appointment, and then I will go to the embassy, and I will go for an interview, and everything will be sorted out. So I paid the 2,500 rand, and they applied for me online. They did it for me. But then something happened. They said, their bank, there's a problem with their bank, and they cannot do the payment. Please go in again, and you do the payment. And they will give me the first payment, the money back afterwards. Okay? So I went in and paid again, so I paid twice. And they said, they assured me, they just a glitch in the system, they will pay that money back for me. And eventually they, a week before I went for the interview in Santon, I just wanted to know for certain, do I have all the documentation, is everything in order, is everything ready? And I phoned them and I said, are you sure these are the documents that I need? And they assured me, yes, that's all I need. But I didn't believe them, because I thought there's a form that I needed that they didn't provide. And eventually, I found out that I still needed it. But there was a day before. The next day, I went to Santon, and literally, it was something like 15 minutes before I had to go into the embassy that they got in and sent me the right forms. I remember as clear as daylight, I had to run as fast as I could from the mall to the embassy. And even though I was a few minutes late, I got into the embassy. I had my interview. I got my visa. Thankfully, praise God. But they didn't do their job properly. And still, I'm still waiting for my money. I phoned them so many times over the past years. And they basically tricked me. They were tricksters. They fooled me. And I'm sure you can tell me stories of people that take you for a ride. They promise you things, they will help you, will do this, they will do that. But eventually what happens is you get a bad taste in your mouth. You realize you can never trust these people again. You will never refer people to those kind of tricksters and shenanigans. Now, spiritually, this can also happen. And in the Church of Jesus Christ, unfortunately, across the world, you get many people that are tricksters, that are false, that are that are fooling people. In my travels in Africa, I've heard stories of people, and I'm sure you know stories as well, of people, pastors, preachers, and that's what makes it so sad, who deceive people. Many people, they have problems. Many people in the world, they have problems. They go through difficult things. Where do they go? They go to church because they think in the church they will get help. The church is the place where you think you will get help for your fears, for your problems, for the things that goes on in your life. But what happens many times, the sad thing is, in the church we find people that fool, that deceive people. And we see this many times. We see it on television where pastors and preachers promise people the world, you can almost say, healing and success and all these things. We know sometimes they promise, they have holy water and holy oil. So they pray over water and oil. And they sell these things for thousands of rands, promising people to that they will get healed and they will be blessed. And what is actually behind it is money. Now, the problem with false prophets is that they use biblical commands to enrich themselves. The Bible says we must give to the work of the Lord. We must give tithes and offerings to the work of the Lord. We must give to the church. But these false prophets, they use the Bible, they use legitimate commands that God requires of his people, and they twist it and they enrich themselves. This is what's happening all over the world. And that's why they're so dangerous. As Martin Luther once said, the devil comes in different forms, but he's the most dangerous when he stands behind a pulpit when he preaches. That's when he's the most dangerous. And unfortunately, Jesus warned us about these people. Now, in this message, I want to look at five things. Firstly, beware of false prophets. That's what Jesus said in the beginning. Beware of false prophets. Secondly, how do we recognize them? How not to recognize them? How to recognize them? The destiny of false prophets. And then how to recognize true Christians. Right. So first of all, let's look at this thing of false prophets. To beware of them. The reason why we have to be on guard, we can say, is because they are dangerous. That's the first thing. Jesus said in verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Okay. So Jesus starts his passage by giving his people a solemn warning. Beware. Be on guard. Be watchful for the false prophets. You see, false prophets have always been in the church. If you go back to the Old Testament, Balaam, the prophet, he was a false prophet. He spoke the right things. And that's sometimes why they are so dangerous. They speak the truth, mostly. But there's also lies involved. And that's the case with Balaam. Balaam said to, Balak, the king, that he will only speak the word of God. But later on we find out that Balaam was also actually a false prophet. He spoke the truth of God, but he was actually false. We go in the Old Testament and we see Saul. He was counted to be a prophet. The Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied. But we find out later on, he was actually only there for his own honor, his own gain. He was actually also a false prophet. We go to the book of Jeremiah. And we see the prophets, the false prophets, promise the people peace and salvation all the time. And peace, peace will come to you. And it was very clear that they were actually false prophets, because God spoke to Jeremiah and said that the people will go into captivity and they will be judged. And then we come to the New Testament. And we see Jesus warning people of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were basically false teachers, false prophets. The Bible tells us they were greedy. They were devoured widows' houses. They were there for the money. Many times that's indication who false prophets and true prophets are. False prophets are there for the money. They are there for their own selfish gain. And even Paul the apostle in Acts chapter 20 tells the Ephesian elders that after he departs, savage wolves will come and come among the flock and devour the people. So we see throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament, there have always been false prophets. And even today, you know, there are false prophets out there. And we can call many names. If you know of the ministry of, what's his name? Peter. It's not Peter. It's a guy in America who studied with you, Roxanne. What's his name? Justin Peters. If you listen to his videos, you will see he exposes the false prophets. Todd White, Kenneth Copeland, many others. People enrich themselves by the word of God. And then many times they also have false doctrines that they preach. But so these people are in Africa, then Asia, they're all over the globe. They are still with us. Therefore, Jesus' command to his disciples, beware of false prophets, are still applicable to us today. So why are they so dangerous? Paul says in the second letter to the Corinthians, the devil comes as an angel of light. That's why they're so dangerous. They come in sheep's clothing. They don't come with a horn, two horns on the head. They don't come as Satanists in the church. They don't come, they look nice. They're nice people. They are kind people. They are loving. They come in sheep's clothing. And when you look at them and when you observe them from for an extended period of time, you will not necessarily see that this person or that person is a false prophet, because they will just look like the other sheep. They will be kind, they will be loving, they will be considerate, and all these kind of things. But actually, that's what makes them so dangerous. They come in as angels of light. They disguise themselves. And that's what Jesus said. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. That's why it's very difficult, in other words, to detect who they are in the church. And that is why they are so dangerous. They are dangerous because they disguise themselves. And they come. They don't come with machine guns. I mean, we know the devil usually attacks the church. He persecutes the church, like in China, like in northern Nigeria. He demolishes, he kills outright. That's one way that the devil attacks the church. But the devil is most effective when he comes maybe with a theological degree, and he comes with nice words, when he comes into the church and preaches. That's when we have to be aware of the false prophets. They come as angels of light. They come there to deceive. And how do they devour, we can say? How do they devour the sheep? They promise people salvation, blessing, healing, success, and a load of other things. They promise these things to the people. But in the meantime, they abuse. They take money from people. Not only money, that's usually one thing they do. They take a lot of money from the church and enrich themselves. And they want to possess the biggest houses and the biggest cars and many houses and enrich themselves. That's one way. But also sometimes what I've heard in Africa and all over the world, sometimes these prophets, they manipulate women and they actually abuse women in churches. And that's very sad, but that's actually what's happening. So Jesus said, beware. Beware of the false prophets. They are there. So my second point, how do we recognize them? Let's read from verse 21 to 23 again. Jesus said, my point is how not to recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now this text does not only apply to false prophets or false teachers. It also applies to any Christian. But I want to focus first of all to false preachers or prophets or teachers. We do not recognize them by their profession of faith. That's the first thing we have to say. Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many of these, or most of these false prophets, they identify themselves as Christians. That's the thing you have to understand. They profess to be Christians. They say they have a conversion experience. They profess, they say, Lord, Lord. That means they call upon the name of the Lord. They say they are Christians. They speak, we can say, Christianese. They know Christian doctrine. They know the Christian terminology. They know all of the doctrines of the Bible, many of them. But Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you do not recognize them by the profession of faith, because false prophets profess to be Christians. Okay? They profess to know God. They profess to serve God. So you don't recognize them by their profession. That's the first thing. Secondly, you don't recognize them by the good things that they say. Jesus said, many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Now, prophecy in the Old New Testament refers to supernatural revelation. And we know that in the Old Testament, New Testament times, the gift of prophecy was still operative. But the word prophecy can also refer to preaching, declaring the word of God. And you can see speaking divine things. Declaring the word of God. So this is where it's very shocking, because a false prophet can know the Bible very well. He can go to a theological seminary, whatever, even good ones. And that's what we see in the Old Testament. We see Saul prophesying, Baal prophesying, even Judas Iscariot probably prophesied. He cast out demons and he healed the sick. All these things were evident in his life. So you cannot identify or recognize a false prophet by just what he says. Because the devil knows what to say. The devil knows doctrine. He knows biblical doctrine. And so the false prophets can know all the right doctrines, but still be false. So you don't just recognize them by their profession, by what they teach, nor by their service to the church. Jesus said, many in that day will say that we have done many mighty works in your name. Many mighty works. That refers to, it can refer to signs and wonders. Old Testament times, yes. Many mighty works. But it can also refer to just ordinary service to God, where you see God has been working. So in other words, the fact that somebody is a Sunday school teacher or a treasurer of the church or is involved in children's ministry or is busy in theological education or is involved in outreaches or in soup kitchens or involved in relief and mercy work, we can say, or cleaning the church, doesn't mean that person is inside the kingdom of heaven. You must understand that. The fact that I think I work for God, do things for God, doesn't mean I'm in the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is saying here. Many will say at that day, we have done many mighty works in your name. That's what's so shocking. In your name. In other words, they deceived themselves. They thought they were in the kingdom of God. They thought they were working for God. They were serving God. They were preaching. They were teaching. They were helping others. They were praying. But actual fact, they deceived themselves. They will stand in the last day, these people, and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things? Mighty miracles, prophesied, casting out demons. But then the Lord will say, I never knew you. So you do not recognize false prophets by their profession, by their teaching necessarily, or by their service to God. Also, you do not recognize them by their ability to do miracles and signs and wonders. That's very important. Because many times, you know, these faith healers, they pride themselves on the fact that they can do miracles, that they can heal the sick, that they can slay people in the spirit. But the fact that miraculous things occur through people's lives doesn't mean they're Christians. And that's what we see in Deuteronomy chapter 13, what we just read in the Old Testament. Sometimes God allows people to do miraculous things. The devil can do miraculous things. Matthew chapter 24 tells us, Jesus said many of the last days there will be false Christs, false teachers, false prophets, false Christ doing signs and miracles. But do not be deceived. You see, the devil has power and can almost say mesmerize you and do things that will astonish you. But that doesn't mean they are true prophets of God or working, they belong to God. Doesn't mean they're from God. Just think about Judas again. Judas in the Bible. He was one of the apostles. He probably cast out demons. He probably healed the sick. But he was not. Jesus said, one of you is a devil. He was never part of God, God's flock. That's why Jesus said, many will say in that day, we have cast out demons, we have prophesied in your name, we have done many mighty works in your name. And then he said, I never knew you. Never. They never belonged to God. They were never part of God's flock. So we cannot recognize false teachers by their profession, by their teaching necessarily, by signs and wonders that they supposedly do, slain in the spirit, whatever, or by the service to the church. You cannot recognize them by that. That's not how you recognize them. So how do we recognize them? Now, we have to say by their doctrine and their works, both together. Doctrine and their works. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, it is not by what false teachers say, well, not all of them, but what they don't say that distinguishes them as false. You must understand that. False teachers would say many good things, many true things. They would tell you God is love. God is good. God wants to bless you. They would quote verses. They will even sometimes expound the scriptures. A false teacher is not recognized by what they say. They will tell you Jesus loves you. They will tell you Jesus rose from the dead. Many false teachers even believe in the resurrection of the dead. They believe Jesus died on the cross. Many false teachers even they believe those things. But it's not what they say. Okay, some people are just plain heretics. You can easily recognize them because what they're saying is just they don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, or they don't believe in the atonement of Christ, or they don't believe in the virgin birth. You know, immediately that is a false prophet. So sometimes you can recognize them by what they say. But many false teachers, they know scripture, but they leave essential teachings out, like they don't call people to repentance. They don't call people to repentance. They don't preach on sin. They don't tell you what sin is. They would condone sinful practices like homosexuality. They will not call people to repentance, and they will not talk about the justice, the wrath, and the judgment of God. And that's many times how you can detect a false prophet. They will never call you to repent. They will never offend you. They will never talk about eternal judgment. And when a person never talks about hell and eternal judgment and the need for repentance, then you know they're a false teacher. Because all the prophets, Jesus, the apostles, they warn people about the coming judgment and the need for repentance. And all these things. And that's why John MacArthur says the same thing. Martin Lloyd-Jones said the same thing. You do not recognize a prophet by what they say. You recognize them, but what they leave out. They do not preach the full counsel of God. That's how you know they're a false prophet. So if you would examine their lives for a long time, you will see. You will see they never preach on these things, the whole counsel of God. They will tell you how to overcome your low self-esteem. They will tell you how to overcome your fears. But they will never offend you. They will never call you to repentance. So you recognize them, yes, in a certain sense, by what they leave out, by what they teach, what they are not teaching. But also, as Jesus said twice here, you would recognize them by their fruits. That's how you recognize them. Listen to verse 15. Jesus said, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" So even a healthy tree, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. That's how you recognize them. So, Jesus is not saying here that good people only can do good. Okay? Good people can only do good and bad people can only do bad. On the surface, well, in fact, bad people can only do bad, but sometimes it looks like they're doing good as well. They can give food to the hungry, but why are they doing those things? They're doing it for themselves. False prophets do not appear to be the most vile and evil people on the planet. They don't appear to be Satanists and pagan worshippers and tattoos over the whole body. They don't appear like that. But what Jesus is saying here is that if you look at their lives, you will see that there is bad fruit occurring all the time. They cannot hide it. You cannot hide a false prophet forever. You cannot hide them. Like Jesus said, thorn bushes cannot produce grapes and thistles don't produce figs. It cannot be done because a person who is born of the Holy Spirit will produce good fruit. That's just... It will show. And this brings us back to the Beatitudes. That's the whole Sermon of the Mount forms a unit. You see, what did Jesus start with? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. He says, you know, these are those who are inside the kingdom of God. False prophets and false Christians do not have, nor can they display, poverty of spirit. They are independent. They are self-sufficient. They are proud. They are not poor in spirit. They are not mourning over their sins because they never preach about sins. They're not mourning over their sins. They are not meek. They are proud. They are not humble. They do not hunger for righteousness. They do not show mercy. They don't really love people because if they love people, they would show them their sin and call them to repentance. They're not pure in heart. They're not peaceable. They don't introduce people to the Prince of Peace. And they are not willing to suffer for righteousness. They're not willing to suffer for Christ. They want to have an easy life, a successful life, and a bed of roses to heaven. That's what they want. And that is where the wheat is separated from the chaff. The natural man cannot produce or manufacture these qualities. It's impossible. It cannot happen. You have to have the Holy Spirit, the sign that you are born again and baptized with the Holy Spirit is that you are increasing in these qualities. That's like I said in the beginning, last year when I preached about the Beatitudes, the defining features of an authentic Christian is that you are growing and displaying these qualities. God the Holy Spirit is working these things in your life. And that's how you know. Nobody who is an unbeliever will be willing to die for Jesus. They will not be willing. Nobody can hate and mourn over their sins and forsake them but by the presence of the Holy Spirit. cannot be done. You cannot hate, loathe, and mourn over your sins without the Holy Spirit. You cannot possess mercy and genuinely love others and do what is best for them except by the Holy Spirit. You cannot truly humble yourself and debase yourself without the Holy Spirit. And you cannot and you will not cry out for mercy and find forgiveness without the work of the Holy Spirit pointing you to Jesus Christ. So you see, the false prophets that do not hunger for righteousness, but for their own benefit and their own advantage. And therefore, Jesus calls them workers of lawlessness. It's not just that they do sin sometimes. It's that they are workers of lawlessness. They do not subject themselves to the commandments of God. They deceive, they lie, they steal. They promise things that the Bible doesn't promise. Health, wealth, prosperity. They are workers of lawlessness. It's not that they don't want to sin, but then they sin. Like Paul says in Romans chapter 7, the good things that I want to do, I don't do. And the bad things I don't want to do, I do. They don't have a struggle. You see, workers, they are workers. They are practitioners of unrighteousness, of lawlessness. They are not subject to the will of God. They do not love the law of God. Sin is their occupation. Their hobbies, their favorite pastimes. That's false prophets. Therefore, Jesus says, you shall know them by their fruits. That's how you recognize them. I just want to say this during this message. We shouldn't, remember chapter 7, verse 1 to 6, judgmentalism. We shouldn't judge people. We shouldn't be judgmental. We shouldn't be censorious. Now, even though we must recognize people by their fruits, we should be fruit detectors. Even though that's true, we shouldn't judge people rashly. And because they fell into sin, immediately say, this is a false prophet. Because David, even David and Peter, men in the Bible, sinned grievously. And we don't say their sin was good at all, but they were still Christians. So even though a Christian may fall, and a preacher even may fall, you cannot just say, because somebody fell in adultery, for example, like David. Say, David was never a Christian. David was a Christian. David was a believer. Same with Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. In Galatians, we read that even after his conversion, he again sinned against God. So you cannot say just when people sin grievously, that shows that they're a false prophet. Now, a false prophet is a worker of unrighteousness. He's a worker of lawlessness. That's what he does. That's his occupation. So there's a difference. So that's how you recognize false prophets. You shall know them by their fruits. Now the destiny. What is the destiny of false prophets and false Christians? Verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, Jesus is not talking about trees here. He's talking about people. He's talking about the false prophets. If people do not bear fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives, God will cut them down and God will throw them in the fire. They will go to the lake of fire. They will be punished. They will be in torment where the flame does not go out, where the worm does not die. That is the end of false prophets. Jesus spoke about hell more than anybody else in the Bible. I mean, even now, just in the Sermon on the Mount, how many times do you see the words, they will be cut down, thrown in the fire? Chapter 5, there will be gnashing of teeth. The flame does not die, and all these kind of things. Over and over again, we see that Jesus was a true prophet of God. He was not only a prophet, he was the Son of God. But that's what we see. A true prophet warns people of the coming judgment. And that's what Jesus says here as well. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. They will go to hell. Hell is a real place where real people will be. It is not a myth. It is not some fanciful idea. It is not a scary story. The Bible does not try to make you scared of hell. It's trying to change your course so that you can go on the narrow way to heaven. Hell is real. It is, will be forever, and people will be in terrible torment. The destiny of false prophets is the lake of fire. Also, they will be separated from God's glory. Verse 22 says, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now these words will probably be the most shocking words anybody can ever hear. Depart from me, Jesus will say. I never knew you. These people were self-deceived. And what is striking is, Jesus says, many will say on that day. Many people are self-deceived. Many people think they are Christians, but they're not. Many people will stand on that day. Many, the broad road. Many people will say, God, we served you. We went to church. We read our Bibles. We served you. But God will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. And what the emphasis here is, I never knew you. That means it's not like they were saved at a particular time and later on they were unsaved. That's not what the text is saying. The text says, Jesus says, I never knew you. That word knew means intimacy, refers to intimacy. They never experienced communion with God. They never were in a saving relationship with God. Their sins were never forgiven. They were never born again. They were never part of God's flock. Even though they were in the church, even though they called upon the name of God, Lord, Lord, even though they served God, they were never saved. Depart from me. That's what it means. So what is the destiny? It's not that God won't be in hell. God will be in hell, but God's blessing will not be there. God's favor will not be there. That's what it means. They will be separated from all the common graces they experience in this life. They will be separated from food, rest, holidays, clothing, all these things that they enjoy during this life. They will be separated from God's common grace and His special grace. There will be no time for them to repent. It will be over. It will be final. Jesus will say, I never knew you. That's the destiny of false prophets and false Christians. They will be separated from God's common grace, His special grace, and from all the goodness. Then lastly, how to recognize the true Christian. Now, if all these things are going to happen, what sort of people do you and I ought to be? As 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5 says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. That's what this text is all about. If these things are so, if so many people in the church are self-deceived, what should we do? We should examine our lives. It is not sinful. It is not wrong to examine your life regularly. We have to ask ourselves the question, how can we know that we are true Christians? How do we know? I'm sure you don't want to hear those terrible, horrific words of Jesus Christ one day, depart from me. You don't want to hear those words. We have to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. There are four things that I want to mention here. Then I'll close off. Four things that you have to test yourself. Firstly, orthodoxy. Do you believe the right things? Secondly, the fruit of the Spirit. Is the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Thirdly, are you doing the will of God? Fourthly, do you know and love the Lord? Those are the four tests. What I see in the scripture. The first one, orthodoxy. Do you believe the right things? You must believe that you are a wicked, vile sinner in need of grace and salvation. You must believe in the deity of Christ. You must believe that Jesus lived on this life as the God-man, sinless life he lived. You must believe that Jesus went to the cross, died on a cross in your place to bore the wrath of God in your place and to make atonement for sins. You must believe that Jesus physically rose from the dead. You must believe that. You must believe that you must repent of your sins and believe and trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sins. And you must believe in the final judgment. That there's a final judgment and not all people are going to heaven. And there are many other things to say, but those are the basic things. You must believe these things to be saved. And there must be fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the second thing. You must see evidence of the work and presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Ask yourself these questions. Are you poor in spirit? Are you dependent on God? Do you know how much you need Him? Are you poor in spirit? Are you mourning over your sins? Or are you celebrating your sins? The fact that you are mourning over your sins is a sign that you are saved. Are you increasing in humility? Are you thinking less and less of yourself? Or are you thinking more and more of yourself? That's a test. Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Do you want to do the right thing? Or even though sometimes you don't. Are you thirsting? Do you have a thirst for righteousness? Are you merciful and loving towards others? Are these things increasing in your life? Do you experience that God is cleansing you and purifying you in your life? Do you strive to maintain peace as far as it is possible and to introduce people to the Prince of Peace? Are you willing to suffer for righteousness' sake and for Jesus? So these things are the test. These are the questions we have to ask ourselves. Is there fruit? Is the fruit of the Holy Spirit evident in our lives? That's how you know. Having the right beliefs, the fruit of the Spirit, doing the will of God. Jesus said, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's how you know. You want to know the will of God. And you want to do the will of God. And you are doing the will of God. It's not only a knowledge and a willingness. It's a doing of the will of God. You set yourself on this course of obeying God. Doing His commandments. That's how you know you're a child of God. You're doing the will of God. Lastly, you love God. You want to spend time with God. You enjoy your quiet times. You enjoy spending time with God. You want to please God. You want to be more holy. You long to obey Him. You want to seek His face. And that's why Jesus said in the end, many will say, Lord, Lord. And I say, I will never knew you. So that means those who knew God are part of God's family. You want to know God better. You love God. You want to please Him. Those are the four tests. That's how you know that you're a Christian. So may God help you and me. You know, I don't want to hear those words. Depart from me. I'm sure you don't want to hear those words as well. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. What you want to hear are these words. On that day, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Those are the words you want to hear. And only through Jesus Christ, by trusting in Him, repenting of your sins, and obeying God, will you hear those words? May God help you and me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you Father, we know that salvation is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot convert ourselves. We cannot change ourselves. We cannot make us believe in Jesus. We cannot convert ourselves. Therefore, Father, we need to be poor in spirit. We need to plead for mercy. We need a supernatural work in our life through the Holy Spirit to make us like Jesus Christ. Father, we cannot manufacture. We cannot produce. We cannot make us holy. We cannot change our natures. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Father, we pray, please make us like Jesus. Change us. Produce in us these qualities that you are speaking about. Father, we pray that none of us who hear this message will hear those terrible words one day, "Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness." Father, we pray, help us to thirst after righteousness. Help us to do your will. Help us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know unless we believe in Jesus, we will never be justified. We will never be changed. Father, we pray that you will be merciful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.